Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, definitely didn't know that Growl was going to get a couple promos going, get a little run. No idea what I step into every night when I go on Mason and Ireland, but got to just roll with the punches. Got to roll with the punches. Looking forward to tonight's show. By the way, last night, how great was that? I do want to promote some of the things we're going to do tonight, but I just want to go back to last night simply for the fact that getting a chance, I've never done that with Kirk Morrison. We did the NFL draft. We've done some shows together. But yesterday, didn't it kind of feel like for just a little bit, it felt like, wow, are we really going to be starting football in September? Okay, this is what the Rams schedule is going to be. We know how competitive the division is. John was reading yesterday, and then Jesse had sent me a link. It's got all the odds right now of what teams are supposed to win X amount of games this year, what the predictions are. Yesterday was fantastic. And even the SoFi Stadium part of it, I don't think any of us believe that there's going to be fans at stadiums anytime soon. I think that one's safe to say. But how about just the stadium actually opening? Just having a predicament or situation that if there are NFL games this fall and that's on TV, I mentioned this during Crosstalk yesterday. I said, well, why do you think they're going to play on these fields? What's the point? You're not going to be filling up 70,000 fans in the stadium. Mace had mentioned, well, you just built these locker rooms. Why aren't you going to use them? The facility is obviously ready for two teams to be hosted. I think they're going to be used when he explains it that way. And I was just using the example. If you remember right when the NBA was about to end, the conversation was, well, why hold these games at Staples Center? Why don't you just do it at the Lakers training facility? You have a full facility there. You don't need it because you don't need it from a fan perspective. But just getting into that vibe yesterday and actually talking about big-time matchups and being able to see, okay, not just how good and how tough the Rams schedule is going to be, but also seeing what the Raiders have on tap, what the Chargers have coming up. That week three game between Kansas City at the Baltimore Ravens, the Rams starting against the Cowboys, two prestigious franchises on a Sunday night game. That was great last night. It really was. And having a chance to connect, obviously, with Kevin Demoff as well, it brought some light to, I think, a time where we have no idea how the next 30, 60, 90, 120 days are going to look. That's the reality. So I've tried to be, a lot of times when I come on, I do the show, I'm trying to find positive stories to talk about, but also at the same time, just kind of being real and realistic. Yesterday, I was looking at the schedule. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. 10 o'clock games. How perfect are those? 1 o'clock games or that Monday night football matchup or the Sunday night games when you wait all day for a specific matchup, whatever, AFC, NFC, it doesn't even matter. That's what yesterday felt like for a quick second. But I do want to start off the show. By the way, Ben Lyons will co-host with me for a full hour, starting from 7 o'clock, we'll go till 8. Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times at 7:30, and then Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation at 8:30 will join the show. So prepping for the show, getting everything all ready, and I look at Adrian Wojnarowski starts – all these tweets start coming out. Shams from The Athletic, all these tweets start coming out. And we knew that Adam Silver – was going to have a conference call with the Players Association. And we knew that a lot of the questions that we have, I'm sure a lot of the players have as well. So this was their opportunity to get some answers. And it was also an opportunity for us to get some answers because we are just taking the information that's out there. And then we're obviously passing it on to listeners. And then all these subjects and all these topics come up from it. So I want to read off a couple of the highlights from this NBA Players Association meeting with Adam Silver, with Commissioner Adam Silver. So these are a few that stand out. First one, this is actually off The Athletic here. They just had a bullet point of all these different things that were discussed because it was a ton of things. I mean, I'm looking at Woj's tweet and every 3 minutes was another paragraph. If the 2019-2020 season resumes, no fans are expected. And that could be the case as long as there is no vaccine. So I mentioned this, and I'll mention again for those that are just tuning in right now. League is preparing for no fans in arenas through next season. Now, I'm not going to assume anything. I'm just reading off, obviously, the facts that are here. I know we have all talked about and just kind of have set our own expectations because we're all trying to figure out where to go and what's next and what's going to happen from here. I don't think I've ever – I did this a couple weeks ago where I was like, oh, college football should be fine. NFL doesn't seem like there's going to be any problem there. Why would there be? They don't start until September, you know, August at the earliest. Because you're just thinking in your mind, you're saying Major League Baseball is right now. NBA is right now. So I'm not looking too far down the road. I'm not looking 3, 4, 5 months down the road because you have an NBA season that you're hoping at some point gets finished. I mean, the Lakers were the favorite. Lakers had to have been the favorites to win the NBA championship before play stopped. And all I'm thinking about is, are they going to have that opportunity to pursue championship number 17? Are they going to have that opportunity to make a run against Memphis and then whoever's in the second round and then eventually the Clippers in the Western Conference and then most likely the Milwaukee Bucks in the finals? That's all I'm looking at. But when I read something like that, I don't want it to be perceived as, oh man, this, we're just reporting negative news. I'm just literally giving the information that came off the call. League preparing for no fans in arenas through next season. And that, you know, from a vaccine perspective, that's the only way they're going to feel safe. And every state is different. You know, the governor of California has said this on a number of occasions. We're not going to be packing in stadiums anytime soon. That's not going to be happening. Packing in arenas or anything along those lines. I got a couple other things I want to read here. 40% of the league's revenue comes from fans. I know, I remember when the Lakers got their deal with Spectrum. And it was, you know, obviously a humongous TV deal. And you just kind of start thinking in your head, okay, well, that's how these teams make their money. A majority of their money is coming off the TV revenue, and it probably is. I mean, those deals are gigantic. But what I didn't know is that 40% of the league's revenue comes from going in through those gates. 40% of the NBA's revenue comes when you buy your ticket, you end up at Staples Center, you pay for your parking before you even get there. Maybe you go up and you're buying some food at the concessions. Then you see a beautiful Kobe jersey or LeBron jersey. You're like, get me one of those. Then you go to the team store, you grab a hat. Before you even sit down, who knows what you spent, right? And that doesn't matter. You're sitting up in the 300 section, the 200. If you've got great seats and you're in the 100 section or you're going up to Lexus Club and having dinner before, it's, I don't want to use the word irrelevant, but no matter where you are, it's obviously you're spending money when you're there. It's an unbelievable event. And it's one of those events that some don't get to experience all the time. Like, you know, I use me as an example. I forget. I'm at these games on a game-to-game basis. We forget just how unique it is to walk into Staples Center and get that experience. But 40% of the league's revenue comes from fans. So if they're not going to have fans this season, which nobody believes they will, but there's also a chance they're not going to have there's a chance that they're not going to have fans next season. That's a incredible, incredible change when it comes to revenue. I'm going to read off a quote here, and this was coming from Adrian Wojnarowski's Twitter. Broader Adam Silver message on call to players: this is going to be hard and hard for a long time. We need to work together. Hard choices are coming. No one will agree on everything. There are some difficult days of collective bargaining coming with grim financial realities. So that's coming from Adam Silver. He also said on part of the financial impact, the CBA wasn't built for an extended pandemic. Silver called it the greatest challenge of our lifetime. So that's what's coming up for the NBA. Now, I will preface by saying with all this, there's a lot of other news, too, that comes from this conversation that Commissioner Adam Silver had with the players. And some of it also garners a lot of hope. Like the things that I'm pointing out are just talking about from a financial perspective and from fans being at games. But I think most listeners, you know, who are tuning in right now or you're following sports in some capacity or you're just following news, I think we've all known for at least 7 weeks or so that, okay, it's going to be a while until fans are actually back at games. When we come back, I want to break down a little bit more from what came out of this meeting with Adam Silver and some things that I think also give us some hope for the rest of this season. So we'll do all that coming up next. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Ben Lyons coming up at 7 o'clock. So just a reminder there, Ben Lyons will be coming on the show here in about 15 minutes or so. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right. We appreciate you guys tuning in. If you're out there on the roads, man, how Friday nights have changed. I could imagine how stacked the roads used to be, at least at this time of day. So if you're on the roads and you're tuning in, or if you're listening on the ESPN app, thank you very much. Ben Lyons coming up. He'll co-host for an hour, starting at 7 o'clock till 8. Dylan Hernandez, LA Times at 7:30, and then Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation at 8:30. So I'll just kind of continue highlighting some of these things. By the way, you could do it. Go to Woj's Twitter or go to Sham's Twitter, and both have just incredible breakdown of that conversation. Commissioner Adam Silver held a call with the NBA Players Association, and it just kind of – it's an update from the league. So these are a couple of the bullet points that I took. All right. They're saying that a decision on the season can go into June so that they don't have to make a decision this month. And it can kind of leak into June before they decide, okay, hey, are we doing this or are we not doing this? So keep that in mind. What's today? As we look at the date today, I would say today's May 8th. So you'd have to imagine that the NBA tries to make a decision on the remainder of this season within the next 30 days. A couple other things that I want to point out. If the NBA is able to return, Adam Silver told players it is safer in one or two locations, Walt Disney World in Orlando and Las Vegas, than it would be flying around to cities and facilities. I did also write on here, I think there's a number of cities inquired about hosting for the NBA and that Vegas and Orlando consider to be the top choices. And I'm just going off this bullet point right now that's sitting on The Athletic, so I want to make sure I reference that. They continue to say, I want to read off a couple things here because I think I already talked about the financial impact, but it says Silver hopes playoffs would include a 7-game series in every round. Series could move faster without need for travel. So that kind of gives you an idea. I know for me, I mentioned this, and I've had conversations with Mason Ireland when we're doing crosstalk and we're trying to come up with scenarios for the NBA, or an idea comes out for the NBA and we try and figure it out. Like, will that work? How is that going to happen? One of those is, well, it's impossible. You can't have a 7-game set in the first round, right? And then a 7-game set in the second round, Western Conference Finals and NBA Finals. And I just assume that because how much time has been lost. But that's going to be the focus for Adam Silver. That's what he's going to try and get. Maybe a lot of that has to do with the business side of things, the revenue side of things. But I also think it has a lot to do with trying to come out with a legitimate champion. You know what I mean? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago that if it becomes too gimmicky, I don't think it's going to be fair to crown a champ. You know, if it becomes too gimmicky where it's this round-robin tournament, it'll be fun. Don't get me wrong. We all want to see basketball back. But if it's so beyond different than how all the other playoff structures were, or if it's this single elimination tournament or something like that, like, would you really take that and say, yeah, that was the best team in the NBA? I don't know if you would. Silver says, this is a very, very important question, and I don't think anybody has an answer, but Adam Silver tried doing his best on this, and this is a question mark for Major League Baseball. It's a question mark for the NBA. It's a question mark for the NFL. It's a question mark for all sports. If a player tests positive, I'll read exactly what the concept is here. Silver said the NBA's hope would be that players who test positive for the virus wouldn't require the shutting down of a team, but just the removal of a player amid constant testing of those who had come in contact with him. That's what sources said. So that's one I kind of scratch my head towards. They got to do everything they can. I mean, eventually, maybe I'm wrong, but eventually I don't think sports are going to just, okay, well, somebody got sick, somebody has COVID-19, shut down the league again. I think when that originally happened, it was so new and there wasn't testing available or very limited amount of testing. Nobody really knew what was going to happen. And every day you feel like, okay, we're learning a little bit more about it. But I'm just going to throw out a scenario out there, and you guys can tell me if you think this scenario, what you would do or how you would perceive this scenario. Let's say, God forbid, any of these players test positive. But let's say the NBA comes back, and I'm going to just look for a player that I know has a chance to win an NBA championship and is so critical to his team. Let's say Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks tested positive. So that means Giannis Antetokounmpo then is removed from his team. And then constant testing of those who had come into contact with him. He has to quarantine for 2 weeks. How far do you think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to go without Giannis Antetokounmpo? I'll tell you, and it's a very, very simple answer. They're not going to go far at all. Maybe they win the first round because they would be playing, I think, the Orlando Magic. But what if it happened in the second round? And now you're facing teams that already think they have a shot against you. Miami thinks, we can go up against Milwaukee in a 7-game set. Boston thinks, we'll take our chances. Toronto, you know, go down the list of all these teams in the Eastern Conference. If that scenario played out, and if, let's say, Giannis, and I'm just throwing the name out there. We obviously hope and wish nobody gets tested, and that has nothing to do with sports. Not tested. Nobody tests positive for COVID-19, but that has nothing to do with just sports, just in general. But if a player of that caliber all of a sudden can't play for the Bucks for 2 weeks and they lose in the playoffs because that scenario played out, aren't you going to look at the season like, that's not fair? You know, now Miami is in the NBA Finals, or Boston's in the NBA Finals, or Toronto's in the NBA Finals. And I'm not telling you guys I have a solution towards this. But all I'm saying is, if that happened, that's it. The season's over for that team, right? The Milwaukee Bucks are gone. And you could go down the list with every team. You know, there are – I'm not even talking significant players. What about if it's a significant role player? That could be the difference of making it to the finals or not making it to the finals. So the NBA's got a lot of tough, tough decisions on their hand. And it's not just the NBA, but I'm using the NBA as an example simply because – this was a conversation that was had with Commissioner Adam Silver. All right, a couple other things. Let's see what else we got here. According to Silver, the league would look into other ways of interacting with fans if they obviously can't attend games. When asked about a potential second wave of the virus in fall, Silver said that that is why a delayed start to 2020-2021 makes sense. Silver referenced a Christmas Day start. Sources said a December 25th start to the 2021 season is gaining momentum. By the way, I hope that happens no matter what. I love it. A 3 to 6 week ramp up period is expected should the NBA be able to resume the season, and the NBA prefers to have a full 4-round, 7-game per series postseason. So I did mention that. You know, I'm going to use the best Laker analogies that I can. Obviously, many people know me on this radio station as somebody that not just bleeds purple and gold, but it's my job as well, right? I'm doing the pre and post game. I'm doing Lakers talk. I love Lakers basketball. So I always spend time kind of applying this towards the Lakers. For the Lakers, a 3 to 6 ramp-up period, that's fantastic. That's amazing. That's exactly what the Lakers will need. Look, Lakers already have the chemistry. This team was already rolling. Lakers were the favorites before stoppage started. After the Lakers, in my opinion, beat the Milwaukee Bucks and they beat the Los Angeles Clippers, the championship was running through the Los Angeles Lakers. And when the Lakers, if they come back and the NBA comes back, the championship will still be running through the Los Angeles Lakers. That's my opinion. But I also got to see the type of basketball the Lakers were playing, first of all, the entire season. But that specific weekend was so key for the Lake Show, and they delivered. So a 3 to 6 ramp-up period expected. I love that for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that's so important for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that's so key for the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's definitely something that I think would play to the Lakers, advantage. So a lot of stuff. I mean, so many things to consume But that's where we are in the NBA. Silver also said that he believes all 30 owners want to play. And that's playing off – this will be good actually for me to get into with Ben Lyons. That's playing off some of that conversation. Steve Kerr had a quote – we'll play it a little bit later. But Steve Kerr had a quote simply about, I'm not sure if we're going to – I think our offseason already started. And I thought that was comical. Bob Myers had to come out, president of basketball operations for the Warriors, and be like, no, that's not what he meant. It was taken out of context. But if a 3 to 6 week ramp up does happen for the Lakers and the Lakers get, you know, some of these opportunities to get back on track, I think that plays to the Lakers' advantage. Okay, so we'll see what happens on all that front. I do want to promote Ben Lyons coming up next. I did mention this with Ben. We're going to do a full hour together, get a chance on a Friday night to kick back, shoot the you-know-what, talk some sports. And Ben, I think, was telling me he did some golfing. Ben's back out there doing some golfing. What I want to ask Ben is, when's the last time he played some basketball? Because if there's one thing I miss right now, I miss some hoops. So we'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Go till 9 o'clock tonight. Ben Lyons in the house. What's going on, Ben?
I feel like you hit the wrong button on the music. I feel like you put on the Steve Mason music.
It sounds like it was Sean McVay tried getting in, and he wanted to get in for a quick second, and then
he got boxed out. And then Mason changed. No doubt. It's good to be here on a Friday night, man. How are you?
Everything's good, man. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. I had a little glimmer of hope today in that I got out on the golf course. Brookside by the Rose Bowl is now open to golfers. I got a chance to play with my neighbor. Social distance, of course. Wore our masks. There's something going on with the holes where the ball doesn't go in the hole. They like cut out a pool noodle so it bounces off the cups. You end up putting better. And it was just nice to be outside and compete and connect and, you know, just find those gaps of normalcy that are starting to glimmer, but while remaining, you know, safe on the bigger picture. So, yeah, I played golf today, which I was excited about, bro.
Ben, what's your tee time usually? What time do you get out there?
Well, usually I'm first light. Like, I like to get off at like 6 in the morning, get it done, and then go have a day. But today we did a whole story for CBS on the golf course opening and interviewed the general manager. And just think about this, Alan. This course has been closed at, like a lot of businesses, for over 2.5 months. The driving range, the restaurant, the pro shop, the tee times. They had the Pasadena City Open Championship. Over 400 golfers in 5 different flights registered. Boom, all gone, knocked out. And what I'm very proud of ESPN LA is how the station has stepped up to support small businesses. And it's been amazing to see the listeners of our station come together and show love to all those great businesses around our city that we love. And today was just like another great community coming together in a safe way moment that, you know, provided a little hope amongst all the craziness, and sports can do that.
Okay. So Ben, give me kind of an idea. Was it packed?
No, they stagger the tee times.
And the reason why I say, I guess the stacked part, not packed, what I mean by that is I'm curious to see how long it's going to take consumers, golf enthusiasts, people who want to go to restaurants. Of course, not everything's open, but I'm saying, like, I'm curious how long the confidence from consumers will take to get back to some kind of normalcy. So paint a picture of what it was like at the course.
It was not Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, trying to get into a Best Buy for a TV. It was not sure. That. Mm-hmm. They stagger the tee times. Brookside is known to do fivesomes. There were no groups bigger than foursomes. We played just me and my buddy, a twosome. We had no tee time in front of us, no tee time behind us. So it's kind of nice. I didn't see anybody out there, to be honest. No cart, you know, person selling us drinks. No, you know, pro shop in the middle on the ninth hole, getting to some beers at the turn. None of that. But again, it's going to be a gradual assimilation in all walks of life, and especially all walks of sports. Just like we're not going to have Staples Center rocking with 20,000 right away. We'll hopefully get there. But right away, we're going to see hopefully the NBA in games that don't have audiences, because we're going to get there gradually. So today was a gradual opening of the golf course. It was not, you know, the Waste Management on Saturday. I promise you that.
Well, and this is I think that it's going to be the part, like, businesses can start opening up, and when they do, that is my curiosity. Like, I know for me personally, I don't think I'm going to be going to a restaurant right out the gate. Right, I don't think I'm going to be in public areas, but everybody's different. You know what I mean, Ben? So
You're Alan Sliwa. You host, you know, Sliwa at night. I get it. The paparazzi, the fame, the attention.
So much.
You get to pick up at the curb and keep it moving. I totally get it.
You're right. Dude. I never leave.
But it's going to be weird when you do say, okay, you know what? I do want to sit down in a restaurant and go out with my folks, or go out on a date, or we'll go out with my friends, and everyone's in the restaurant wearing masks, and maybe your waiter gives you a menu that's disposable or recyclable or something. You know, I don't know. I mean, the world's going to look different, but we'll get there, and sports will get us through it when we get closer to it, you know?
All right. Give me your, it's interesting, because when we connected last week that we are going to, you know, do this on Friday. And I'm always curious from, you know, different folks of just in general, like what sports are, I know you and I are missing NBA, but how about just going out and playing some pickleball? How much do you miss that?
You know, and my neighbor, I share a driveway with my neighbor, and he's kind enough at the beginning of the pandemic to put up a hoop in the driveway, which has just been a godsend, because every Sunday night after I watch The Last Dance, and I'll have you guys on my phone, and I'll go out in the yard and I'll like get up shots because I think I can still play. But five on five, man, I really miss it. And this was going to be my last summer. This is going to be my last dance. This is going to be my Vince Carter. Let's play every game like it's my last. You know, I'm 38 with some bad knees and Dr. Clapper visits. Like I don't have much 5-on-5 left. So I'm hoping we can get out there and run. How about you? Where are you at in your 5-on-5 journey?
Clapper 100% will get you off of basketball if you keep going to him. Clapper wants you on the bike.
You're either pre-op or post-op. The swimming, bike, the pool, yoga. Your back is like a thing of Pringles.
Heal your knees.
I love it. I love and Clapper. And by the way, the guy obviously knows what he's talking about. But every time, look, there's something about it. I haven't played any basketball 7 weeks or however long it's been going. I haven't played any basketball, and I was mentioning this to the guys a couple days ago. You know what I miss most, Ben? Just shooting around. You know, like if a pickup game comes, you get a chance. You're playing threes or you're playing full, whatever the case is. Sometimes you don't. It all depends on what the gym looks like when you get there. But what you could always control is just grabbing a ball and shooting around. Just those small little things.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how much.
You're gonna appreciate it, man. You're gonna appreciate it next time you go to the park and they put the rims back on the backboards. You're gonna be doing the mic and drill. It's gonna be great. I mean, look, but think about this. You and I are talking about our basketball games being rusty and how we're gonna have to ease back into it. What about like James Harden and Kyle Kuzma and, you know, Liz Cambage and all these professional basketball players who are going to have to put in weeks of training to get their bodies right to be able to compete again at the highest level?
Still more worried about you and you and I. You know what I mean? Like, I think our bed.
Yes, I'm worried about our backs and our knees and our clapper visits as well.
I think we should be worried about this. Okay, so stay with that for a second. Did you see all Woj's tweets and Cham's tweets? The NBA held a call. The Players Association held a call, league office, Commissioner Adam Silver. I hit on a couple of these, but this one I thought it was important. And like you just mentioned, imagine how James Harden is going to get back on a court. Imagine how LeBron, who had the Lakers rolling before that game against Brooklyn, had the Lakers rolling, right? And all of a sudden the league just stopped for minimum 3 months. We're 7 weeks in here. I think it's safe to say we don't feel like there's going to be any games by the time, you know, June 1st rolls around or anything like that. So minimum 3 months. They did say a 3 to 6 week ramp up period is expected should the NBA be able to resume the season. And the NBA prefers to play a full 4-round, 7-game per series postseason. Just your thoughts when you see that? I mean, I think that's the right time frame to give these guys an opportunity to get back into playing mode.
You know, Adam Silver has shown remarkable leadership from the start, right?
He's the best.
Yeah, we'll remember March 12th or so when he really, you know, he shut down those games, and that really kind of set off the NCAAs and everybody else beginning, and even the country, to really start to take this more seriously. And I think he's doing a great job of not hamstringing himself to any bold proclamations or declarations saying, we'll be back July 4th. Summer league's going to happen. The draft, there's so many fluid moving parts to this, right? That I think he's setting himself up and setting the league up for success by not promising too much, taking it step by step. I was on with Sedano earlier when Woj was tweeting this stuff out, so we were reacting to it in real time. And I think both of us, like you too, Alan, feel really positive. They're like, okay, this seems like the appropriate next step in order to get closer to the ultimate goal of watching our favorite players play.
Yeah, and listen, I think this too. When you mentioned Adam Silver, there is something about not creating this false hope. And I've mentioned this a few different times on the show where I'm not saying that people shouldn't come out and say not how they feel, but I'm saying if you're a person in that position, the last thing you want to do is put yourself in a corner because you overpromised and you underdelivered, right? And I think if there's one thing that Adam Silver has done perfectly, listen, we don't have enough information. We got to work with the data. When we get to this date, I'll be ready to kind of reassess situations. Okay, we're going to have a meeting with our players association, and we're going to update them on the latest, which then updates all of us. I love the way he's approached this whole thing, and I'm not saying he's perfect, and I'm not, you know, trying to rag on all the other commissioners, but he's the blueprint right now. He really is. I feel like the way he reacts and the way he's running the NBA, it is something that a lot of other leagues, commissioners from other leagues, should be taking some notes on.
Yeah, agreed. Also, every commissioner for every league has their own league issues, the nature of their sport, where it's played, you know, how many players are on the field. How are you going to have a practice for UCLA football if there are no social gatherings of 50 people? There's 55 guys dressed, 85 on the practice squad or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So every commissioner, every league, every organization, the NFL can probably get away with games without fans. College football definitely can't. You know, so every commissioner has their own tweaks. Silver's trying to save a season. Baseball's trying to start one. Football's anticipating how they're going to put one on. So every league's shifting compared because of the deck of cards that they're playing with. But Silver is leading the way. And you're absolutely right, Alan, in saying, let's take a beat. Let's not proclaim anything we can't back up. Let's look at the information and let's check in with our players. And let's make our players a real part of this because they're the ones who are going to have to leave their families and you know, sacrifice being away from home.
All right, let's do this when we come back. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, I think had an interesting soundbite about where the Warriors stand, but Bob Myers had to come out, president of basketball operations, to clarify some things. We'll do that coming up next. I'm Alan Sliwa. Ben Lyon's on here as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times coming up at 7:30. Alan Sliwa and Ben Lyons. Ben, is funny. We're talking in the break and looking back at the Last Dance documentary, we get episodes 7 and 8 this Sunday, so we're obviously looking forward to. And I asked you about this because it irked me during the week. It happened maybe on Tuesday or so. Can you explain to me? I know there's not a bigger Knicks fan than you. The documentary going on this past weekend had, you know, obviously highlights the series against the Chicago Bulls versus the New York Knicks. Knicks go up 2-0.
Yeah, I took a shower during that part. I went and took a shower. I cooked some Brussels sprouts. I meditated, and then I came back and watched part 6. Yeah.
Yes, then you saw the rest of it. But what was your thoughts on Charles Oakley? For those that don't know, Oakley came out and basically, in a sense, let me paraphrase it, was just pointing the finger at Patrick Ewing that's the reason why they lost. Michael Jordan was better than Patrick Ewing. And that's enough right there, not making any mention of all the other players that are on the Bulls other than Pat Riley getting outcoached by Phil Jackson. What did you think when you saw that?
It's sad, man. It's so sad that this whole Charles Oakley, New York Knicks situation has continued to fester since he was arrested when Porzingis was on the line. It was about 2 years ago now, all of a sudden, huh?
Yeah.
And they haven't been able, and it just shows you from an organizational standpoint how you got to keep things in house and clean things up. And Dolan and Oakley should have sat down 2 days later, squashed it, and moved on, you know. But unfortunately, a lot of ex Knicks like Allen Houston still work for the team, and Latrell Sprewell comes and tries to get a check to, you know, every once in a while, and Larry Johnson and Starks do community work, and
they're
in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot, you know, and Patrick Ewing's a coach in the NBA. And Charles is right. Charles said, hey, when Patrick got offered a G League job as a coach, I stood up for him. Where's he standing up for me? And I get it. You know, these guys have a – and this is what's coming out in The Last Dance. And it's one of the things I just love about it is, like, there's a sacred brotherhood in the NBA, more so, I think, than other sports. Football has it, too, to an extent, but it's different. But for basketball, you see Charles Barkley championing Scottie Pippen getting paid in a Dream Team press conference, you know? There's a brotherhood in the NBA that's so palpable when you watch The Last Dance, and Charles feels like that brotherhood's been violated by Patrick, so he's outspoken about it.
But this is the issue, Ben. It's not even that. Let's say he has a point about something that he's been, you know, he's had on his mind for a long time. That Knicks team, if you're going to point the finger at Patrick Ewing, and we don't have to go back and replay this series back.
No, we did it already last week, Alan, and I survived that. I don't need to do it again.
But the point is this. The point is, Ben, is that how is it that a former player is pointing the finger at somebody else? Like, there's nothing I hate more than when somebody's trying to point the blame at somebody else, saying, well, Michael was better than when Ewing. Well, everybody knew that. Who was the second best player on the New York Knicks? That's the issue I had. He's not mentioning anything about Scottie Pippen, all those other players. The Knicks overachieved probably in the 90s, and you would know better than I would, but it just, the fact that you had a teammate throwing another teammate under the bus, it makes Oakley
it's sad.
Look
on like
it
a,
really
like
makes a, makes Oakley look
yeah.
bad.
On like a Knicks fan like website show or something random, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just dark energy, man. And you know, you're upset if your teammate doesn't come to your defense and you're public and rest and your embarrassment 20 years later. That's one thing. But to be like, oh yeah, 93, Ewing should have given us another 8-4. It's just like it's a little petty, if you ask me.
You should have gave us another 8-4. That's perfect. By the way, the Last Dance, is it like what era?
Can I point out one thing about The Last Dance? Hold on. We all love it. We're having a blast on Sunday nights. But I just want to point out, to leave out Craig Hodges was incredibly irresponsible. When Craig Hodges wore dashiki to the White House and gave President Bush a handwritten letter, or letter that said like his feelings on social justice, and as a result was blackballed from the NBA, that to me seems like an interesting part of the Bulls run that should have been included, and I can understand why it wasn't, though, sadly.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the one thing I love most about these documentaries. I like coming out with info I didn't know. You know, so if they spent some time on that, the way they spent time on how the Nike contract came about with Jordan, or how they spent time with how Scottie Pippen went from, you know, begging to play for, what was it, Central Arkansas, to eventually become, you know, one of the greatest players to ever play. Like, I like learning those type of things that, I don't know, should that have been left off, or should...
Crazy about Craig Hodges? Imagine, here's what I always try to do, Alan. I always try to imagine if it happened today, right? So Craig Hodges is on those 91-92 Bulls teams, the first two and the first three-peat. Then he gets blackballed after the D.C. visit. The NBA put him in the three-point contest when he wasn't on a team.
Wow.
He was just so nasty at the three-point contest. It was just understood. Like, if you're going to parade all these guys out here and say he's the best in the world, you might as well have the guy who won it the last couple of years. And he played in like an NBA Cares t-shirt, or like an NBA t-shirt. So imagine that. This guy has to wear the shirt of the organization that turned its back on him for speaking his mind out. It's incredible. And I really wish it had been included in the documentary.
So I think these episodes coming up will have some of the minor league time that Jordan spent in the minor league. So I think that's going to be it. And it will just continue, you know, the order that it's been going in.
Again, if that happened today, if all of a sudden Giannis is like, I'm just going to go chill and hit a curveball. Like, what?
And then I'll just come back and win three championships. Like, even Giannis, it'd be the equivalent. This is honestly the best equivalent you can give. It's LeBron leaving in his prime. It's Kobe leaving in his prime.
That's LeBron that's the only... after they beat the San Antonio Spurs. Ray Allen hits the shot. He's won two titles in a row. He's clearly exercised the demons. JJ Barea mm-hmm. and whatever else. He's like,
I'm good.
Go play for the Birmingham Barons and go sit on a bus.
By the way, I got crazy. Think about this. Do you remember what the cover of The Last Dance looks like?
The cover of it. Is there like the binder that Phil held up, the book or whatever?
No, when they promote it, I'm going to see. Okay, yeah. So right now, if they promote it, let's say they promote it on Twitter or they promote it on ESPN.
Right, there's kind of like the artwork for it or whatever.
There's four players on there and a coach. I got a little beef with that cover. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right, it's got Rodman, Pippen, Jordan, and Kukoc.
No.
Right?
No. Rodman, Pippen, Jordan, Phil Jackson, and Steve Kerr.
Yeah, because he goes on to become one of the more interesting voices in the NBA years later. But at the time, he hit the big shot in 97. But it's kind of that's because he's famous.
You know who
now,
I think
I
should
guess.
Be on there? You know who I think should be on there? And probably how many years did he play XU with the Bulls? Why isn't Ron Harper on there? I feel like Harper doesn't get
Ron Harper's been he's been a fantastic addition to the documentary. The moments where he does pop up are pretty spectacular.
Said, "Love you, guard Jordan," and then Craig Elo guards him.
Said, "I'm over this."
He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, I'm just gonna go hang out over there."
You know, Bill Wennington talking about Ron Harper playing cards in the back. He always had like the Jordan Concord, like patent leather black, whatever the new Jordans was. Ron Harper always got blessed with those too. He had a nice career. Ron Harper was in that 88 dunk contest, I believe, or the 87 or 9. He's one of the high flyers. Great career.
Yeah, I was looking at the cover. Every time I see it, I'm like, why is Kerr on there? I'm not trying to go at Kerr, but like, you know, you're saying hit big shots. Okay, well, John Paxson hit big shots, right? But I thought a Kukoc or Ron Harper should be on that cover before Kerr's.
You know what? You know what this documentary has also taught me as well? It's also taught me why Scottie Pippen does not have a statue in Chicago. Now, he should have a statue in Chicago, but for sitting out the way he did at the beginning of the season, and then I don't think they really even touched on it in the film at all, the year in the playoffs in 94 when they drew up the play for Kukoc, but he decided to sit out because he was upset that they didn't drop the play for him. And then later on in his career, when he comes back to the Bulls in his last year after playing in Portland, after playing in Houston, Jalen Rose is on the team. He's like all excited. They're going to make a run. Scotty's like, nah, they owe me. I'm not doing anything. So he totally loafs it through his last run at the Bulls. So I understand why there's some, and you see it in this movie, why there's some really harsh feelings between him and the organization.
But let me tell you something. You're right, and there are harsh feelings. Scottie Pippen, those six championships. Like, I always think Scottie's one of the most underrated players who's not underrated. Does that make sense? Like, we all know how great Scottie was, but I think just because he was right behind Jordan, I don't think he's appreciated as much. I would love to see Scottie Pippen have a statue in front of Chicago. I'm sure Lakers have some players. We'll use Shaq as an example. Shaq won three chips for the Lakers. It wasn't always a smooth ride. You know what I mean? And there were probably off seasons where Shaq should have been doing much more to try and drive the Lakers to another chip. But he's got his statue sitting out there. I don't know the Scotty.
That's a great point,
chips, man.
That's a great point. But again, man, it's that dark energy that just festers and doesn't get handled and come to the light, whether it's Charles Oakley and Ewing or Pippen and the Bulls. Like, you'd love to see that. You'd love to see that moment because if there's anyone who deserves a statue outside of an arena, it's that guy.
Mm. All right, let's do this. When we come back, Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Want to talk some baseball. Ben, I don't know. Are you watching this?
Man,
baseball
you know, I am a little bit. And what's so hard about during this time right now is like a night like this. It's Friday. It's a little after 7. Like Dodger Stadium on a night like tonight. It's really hitting me hard, man.
I'm close. I'm in Silver Lake area, so I'm close enough to where when there's fireworks, I always hear them. Right, because Dodger Stadium's just on the other side of, you know, Echo Park area. Mm-hmm. It's weird, man. Sports in general is weird right now, but we'll have that conversation with Dylan Hernandez coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Ben Lyons.